It's the not-too-distant future. Throughout the United States, the government is prying into the lives of ordinary Americans, watching their every move.
In response to this oppressive world, bold groups of citizen rebels are taking up arms and fighting back.
But deep inside the heart of our government, a Homeland Security official can't take it anymore. What will happen when she turns her back on the country she once served?
This is the setting of Tom Mercer's new film, Uncivil Liberties. A fictional tale of political intrigue and ethical ambiguity, Uncivil Liberties had its premiere at Albany's Madison Theater in March and came out on DVD earlier this month.
So today we meet three people who made this film possible: Tom Mercer, Penny Perkins, and Paul Rapp. Welcome to the roundtable. It's great to have you all here.
Hi, thanks.
Thank you.
This is quite a project. So, Tom, how did this whole project begin for you?
It began 2 months after the attacks on the World Trade Center in September of 2001. By November of 2001, the Patriot Act was under discussion, and there was talk of creating a new government office called Homeland Security. And they were talking about mining data to find out where everybody is and look for suspicious behaviors, listen to cell phone conversations, emails, library book records. And I imagined, what would it be like a little bit in the future if this trend continued, and thought about writing a drama about it.
So from that point of deciding to write the drama about it, how long did it take you before the cameras started to roll?
About 6 months before the cameras started to roll, and then another 4.5 years before the DVD was released.
This is not an easy process.
Making a feature film is... you have to be crazy or be very patient, one or the other. I have a little of both.
Seem very patient, and Penny's nodding her head. So when you look at this, go back to this process, I assume that the most important thing for you was getting this message out, right? I mean, that was what was driving this.
It is a message-driven film. There have been a lot of documentaries made on this topic, but not so many dramas. And I think drama makes this important issue more accessible to more people, and can be a good jumping-off point for discussion.
So, Penny Perkins, you play Cynthia Porter in the film, who is the Homeland Security officer who betrays the government. How did you get involved in the project?
Well, I've known Tom for a long time. We're both members of a upstate networking group, Upstate Independence, and it's a networking group for filmmakers, actors, writers, directors. And I've admired Tom and his skills, and when the opportunity came to, you know, work on the film, both as an actor and, you know, behind the scene, I was very happy to do that.
So how do you prepare for a role like being a Homeland Security agent?
Well, unfortunately, I'm afraid I was typecast because I'm really a nerdy, computer-loving gal at heart.
So, Tom, tell us how this went from a short to a long.
When I conceived the story, I had the arc of the entire feature in mind and extracted a piece of it that I thought could stand alone as a short, and it would be a way to test my skills and put together a team and see how that works and what kind of product I could produce. And using that test, I was able to do just that, get a good team together and a good cast, and then move forward to make the rest of it.
You're an independent filmmaker. We see by your shirt you're an independent filmmaker. He's wearing one of the Woodstock Film Festival fiercely independent shirts. You don't have the backing of a studio behind you. You don't have the resources. How does a guy who had a job in public service with an idea and a dream, how do you translate that from your head to a film? What do you do about a budget? Where do you get the money?
Well, I had a lot of favors that I could call on, and that's a big part of it. If I was to actually pay full market value for all the goods and services that went into this movie, it would be somewhere between $250,000 and $500,000.
Which by regular standards, it's still not a lot of money.
Very small. Yeah. But I was able to raise a bit of money from friends and family, mm-hmm. and get people who were captivated by the notion of this, the message that it was trying to convey, and they were willing to give deep discounts, and they were able to volunteer their time. And so it became kind of not just a film, but a movement of people who really fell in love with the idea of it and fell in love with the message and wanted to support it.
Which makes it all the more remarkable that it is meetings with such amazing success, and it found a distributor. people go to pretty fancy schmancy film festivals in order to get that sort of distribution. How did that come about?
Well, that's right. I didn't go the festival route. I was prepared to do that, but I was able to get a distributor interested in it right out of the box. I sent query emails to a number of distributors who I thought might be interested in it. I selected 30, sent them brief query emails, suggested that they take a look at our website where they could view a trailer. If they're interested, I'll send you a screener. Of the 30 I contacted, 10 wanted to see screeners. Of the 10 that saw screeners, 3 entered into serious talks with me, and I selected the one that seemed like they were the most eager to really promote my film and give me the kind of support I wanted.
I just want to say, I think that's one of the most remarkable achievements. I mean, Tom has made a great film, and it's the first film, independent film from this area that has achieved a national distribution deal. So I think that really speaks to the quality of what Tom has been able to achieve.
Let's talk a little bit about that success and the fact that the film has struck a chord. You went to the Madison Theater earlier this spring, did very, very well there. What do you think it is about the film that struck a chord with the audience?
Surprisingly, it strikes a chord with people regardless of their political persuasion, or almost regardless of it, because it is ambiguous. It really just raises the question, surfaces that tension between security and civil liberties, and everybody has to decide for themselves where they come down on that continuum. I don't think anybody would argue that you can't have no security and you can't have no liberty. You have to find a balance, and for everybody that balance is at a different point. The characters in this film come to find that balance from opposite ends of the political spectrum, and they end up crossing in the middle someplace.
When you watch a film like this with a story that really hits so close to home, I mean, when you realize that there's that one level where it's an entertainment and there's that other level where you realize that it's plausible, and that's when it really scares the zippers off you.
Yes. It's very plausible. In fact, I was having a hard time over those 4.5 years I was making it, staying in the future. The pace of what the government was doing was constantly catching up with me, and I'd have to do rewrites of material we had not yet shot in order to kind of stay one step ahead of the kind of steps that government was taking to surveil everybody.
I mean, reality can be stranger than fiction.
Reality was stranger than my imaginings at first.
Yeah. What is next? What is the future of this project? It's out on DVD, and obviously you want to get the word out and have more people to see it. But beyond that?
Well, I would like to have it find as large an audience as it can and stimulate discussion of the topic. I have other ideas for films. Penny and I have collaborated on other screenplays. We'd like to make other independent films. We'd like to do them here in the Capital Region on hopefully a slightly larger budget than this last one, but we're not going to let lack of money stop us from our art.
Penny?
I would just have to agree with that, because one of the key steps in getting the distribution deal was that Tom had set up a really great website for the film, uncivilliberties.com, and he directed all the potential distributors to go and look at that. So they saw the trailers, they saw the cast and crew biographies, and so he used this internet, this new medium, digital distribution, in order to really interest people and to show that he was a serious contender in independent filmmaking.
And Tom, give a little shout out for the pluses of making a film right here in the Capital District.
In our movie, we're creating the impression of a city, an urban center, generic, and we put it together from parts of downtown Albany, a little bit of downtown Schenectady, and it passes for any big city, really a bigger city than Albany really is.
What was it like in making the film when people would walk by and say, oh, you're making a film in Albany?
We had one scene where we had a sniper on a rooftop across from the Pepsi Arena, the Times Union Center. It was a Pepsi at the time.
Yes.
Call it the Nick. It's okay.
Yeah,
we all know.
Yeah, that's all right. We got it.
And we did that on Memorial Day when there was no parades or anything, and not much happens in downtown Albany on Memorial Day. But we had police presence, and nobody said a word. No, it was just like minding their own business.
Well, that's a little troubling, isn't it?
I know.
A little bit of a sociological experiment of having a sniper on the roof and nobody noticing.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, so the name of the film, of course, is Uncivil Liberties. The website is still up. What can you find on the website? You can still see the trailer?
You can still view our trailer, and you can find out all the different places that it's for sale, where you can get a copy of it. www.uncivilliberties.com.
And again, Uncivil Liberties was released on DVD earlier this month. www.uncivilliberties.com. And locally, not that hard to find. You can
no,
find it in the local
places.
Excellent. Tom Mercer, Penny Perkins, I want to thank you very much for spending time with us. Best of luck with the DVD and all the future projects as well. Great to have you here.
Thanks very much.
Thank you
so much.